true, that spiritual, actual, factual answers to questions he asking. You find them inside you, beside you, reciting the records of Kashuk. We laughing, we drafting the passion through fabric. It's time for that comedy, dramedy, all of the fanciest, catchiest acronyms. Listeners, listen, we traveling. Consciousness is always unraveling. The reading you're having is mapping you back to your natural habitat. Abracadabra, it's magic, let's pass it. To top it off, the host are the classiest. Now, what were you asking for? All of the answers, what? All the answers.
Listen, if I were in the Bay Arena, you had improv ideas.
Oh yeah, I never shared those with you. I forgot.
Yeah, what were they? Let's discuss.
Screw it. We're jumping right in to that one. I'm just going to say it and you're going to be like, that's a terrible and offensive idea and I hate you for it.
I really doubt that, but okay.
It goes along with your idea of a hybrid comedy healing show.
Okay.
So you know how there's a version of improv where you like have an audience member up and you do it like this is your day or this is your life thing, where you interview them and then you do a show based on that.
We have a whole show of that here. We do that. Yeah.
So we have someone up a la like a guest for us, but a very short, but like a podcast guest, all the answers style.
Oh.
And we have to figure out how to do a shortened version of that. We do like 20 minute session, basically.
Like an interview or like a records reading?
Like, interview and a records reading.
Okay.
Or a healing or something. But then the second half of the show.
I love this.
Is us doing probably comedic, but, you know, doing an improv that is just inspired, not following the story necessarily exactly.
This fills my heart with glee.
But, okay, so here's why I thought it was like possibly, quote, not offensive is the wrong word, but like reductionist.
Yeah, of course, because people are telling us a deep, intimate thing, and I'm talking to God about it, and then we're like, ippa-dippa-dip farts.
Yeah.
But I
also,
think it'd be funny.
I thought maybe it was like ippa-dippa-dip farts about the depth of the work that you do, you know? But we do that on this podcast anyway, I guess.
That doesn't offend me at all. I'd be more concerned that the person whose life we're fucking with would be offended. But then we'd just be choosy. We'd have to just tell people, here's what's going to happen. Choose your life choices amongst yourselves.
Mm-hmm.
That was articulate. You know what I mean? Cool.
And we're going to name the troupe Dip-a-dip-a-dip-fart.
What's extra funny about that is, you know, the whole thing of like improv names, improv team names. We're always trying to be clever. I like the idea of just giving up entirely. Dip-a-dip-a-dip farts. Because it's a comment on the making of the name.
D-I-P-A, D-I-P-A, D-I-P-A farts.
Maybe it's D-I-P-A, D-I-P-A, D-I-P farts.
Dip-a-dip-a-dip farts. That's pretty good.
Wow, I really like this idea. You know.
And I guarantee it, nobody else is doing it.
A zillion percent nobody's doing it. You know what else we could do? We could do live tapings of the podcast. And once a month, it's that. It's dip-a-dip-a-dip farts. Or we live tape the podcast once a month, and every other month, it's dip-a-dip-a-dip farts. Something like that.
Right. Live tape of the podcast, to me, thinks that requires wherever we're doing it that we have a large following already, a large enough following to actually fill us a house.
And or that's part of how we build our following.
Is we just say, hey, come out. And we have two people at a show. And then we have...
Well, we're constantly marketing it. And it's like any show. You have to market a show.
Well, see, that's why I think dip-a-dip-a-dip farts is the way to go. Because we can just market the improv show. And then they learn about us and the podcast through the improv show.
I think you market the whole. Oh, I see. You're saying you would market the improv show as we interview a person, we do a spiritual thing, and then we do an improv show about it.
Right. So really, people would just come, I guess I'm just coming for the comedy, whatever. What are they doing? Spiritual shit? That's stupid. Sounds stupid fun.
I think if it's in the Bay Area, you have so many spiritual people.
Right.
That you lean in with both.
Yeah. Dip-a-dip farts. It's our code name from now on for this project.
You got to be careful with me because something like that, I'm already married to it because it's so funny to me that I'm like, it was like when we came up with, when I came up with and think I'm a genius for no good reason for the law offices of Brown, Rubin, and Shaw, which Sam Shaw would never commit to because he needs help. How the fuck is Sam Shaw doing? Have you talked to him lately? Sorry.
Not much. So I'm eating my oats, my overnight oats that I've started making for myself as a result of my food intuitive reading. I'm doing oats. I never did oats before.
Oh, cool. How do you do your overnight ones? What do you do to them?
A bunch of oats in a jar. And this time I added water because I didn't have any milks, any oat milk or anything, which I sometimes add. And some fruit, whatever I've got. I got raisins. And
is it hot water or does it not matter?
Overnight oats, you just soak.
Oh.
Makes it slightly different. It's a little chewier of a texture, but it's really good. You don't have to boil it. You don't have to manage it. You just literally throw things into a jar, put enough water in. It's sort of 2-to-1 water to oats, two parts water to one part oats.
Yeah.
And then I throw like nuts and raisins, and I put a little, this time I put a little too much sweetener. It's actually too sweet, but non-sugar sweetener in there, honey or something. And then you just put the lid on the jar and throw it in the fridge. Next morning, you've got oatmeal.
And you don't have to, do you choose to then heat it in the morning?
I don't.
Okay. Interesting.
In this case, it comes out as a cold cereal.
I'm going to do this. I like this idea.
Yeah. I just grabbed it out of the fridge and it was, oh, I have breakfast.
You know what we call that? Dip-a-dip-a-dip oats.
Do you ever listen to Love It or Leave It, the podcast?
No. What is it?
It's so the people who do Pod Save America, which is very political. One of them is this guy, John Lovett, not John Lovitz and not Lyle Lovett. He used to be a speechwriter for Obama, but he's really just this gay comedian, ultimately, but with deep pundit knowledge and political knowledge and stuff, too. But he's and then he has a live show that is very funny, and he just has people on. Anyway, one of their things they do, and they do political humor, but it's all humor. Like every bit is humor, but it's all politically based. And they sometimes have politicians on and stuff. And he has gay news, which goes whenever they're doing gay news and they go back and forth, whoever their guest is reading some of the headlines and he's reading some of them. They always have to go at the end of every bit, ba-da-ba-ba-da-bop, gay news. And they have to do it together. That's all. So it's dip-a-dip-a-dip, gay news.
I like it a lot.
It's a good show. Very fun. Very enjoyable. It's also a good way to catch up on news.
Yeah, I hear that. It's like our new version of the Jon Stewart show where you're like...
Yeah, it's very Daily Show-like.
Yeah. Speaking of which, gay news. We were at dinner last night here in Jacksonville, Eric and I, like both of us like gay, liberal Bay Area people. And we're so gay that we're dating each other, a man and a woman.
Which is queer as hell.
It's so queer. It's like so subversive. We're so cis. And our friend, my friends, Amy and Thomas, who are a mixed race couple and super liberal and have 90 kids and they're raising them super liberal in Jacksonville, which is like a thing, you know. We were talking about the thing of, since Eric's been here for like, I've said his name like 90 times. By the way, he was teasing me last night. I told him, or this morning, I said, you know, you have a pseudonym on the podcast. It's Chauncey. He was like, it's funny to me that you have a pseudonym for me when you did a whole stand-up show about my penis and said my first and last name in said show. And I was like, I did do that, didn't I? I forgot about it.
Giving up on Chauncey. It's all...
I guess we could just say the truth now. Anyway, so he was saying, since I've been here, I've heard you've told me stories of three people you know that are gay in Jacksonville and haven't come out to their parents and like can't because of religion. And he was like, I literally never, ever run into that ever. He's like, because he lives in the bubble of the Bay Area, obviously.
Right.
So anyway, I was just thinking about that and thinking like, God, that's true. When I think back to my time in the Bay, I just know like empowered ass queer folk who are like, deal with me, America. I'm trying to think of, do you know anyone in the Bay who you're like, well, I haven't told my mom yet because she'll disown me. It's just funny to think how much I've time traveled back into the past living here in that way.
I know someone who probably isn't out as bi to their parents.
Fair enough.
And not out as poly either, because that's...
Gotcha.
Almost weirder than gay for some people, I would imagine, for parents.
I hear that. Yeah. I mean, that is a, if you think about it, that is a difficult one for, like, if you have trouble with your child's sexuality not being the hegemonic group, normative, whatever that is. Poly would be difficult, I think, because the nature of what it is means you're fucking lots of people.
Right. And that's one more thing that they have to put in their brain and assume.
Like if you're gay, if you're like a parent who can't handle new ideas and your kid is gay, you're dealing with them having sex with one person you're unhappy with.
Right.
Rather, maybe, if they're in a relationship, I guess.
Right. Like that doesn't happen all the time in cis relationships.
Yeah, totes.
Parents hate the partner.
But yeah, totally. Right. So it's not this. But if you deal with a kid who's poly, now you're navigating, I guess, fears about you could get diseases. Is that the?
Yeah.
And also like.
No, or whatever.
Or just the judgment of it.
Well, my one poly friend who I'm talking about.
Yeah.
They are actually more worried about how it would affect their parents' relationship to their husband.
Okay, that's fair.
Because they would think that the husband's...
Oh, out there boning.
Because of the... Yeah, because of the also the gender problem of like, well, if men are poly, it's because they just want to fuck everything.
Yeah.
You know, that they would see the husband through a different light and they'd be worried about that.
That's fair. I'll tell you, I have some of that. I have a little bit of that where I do assume initially when I meet a man and he's like, I'm poly, I'm like, oh, cool. So you mean you haven't done your trauma work and you just like to fuck everybody. That's nice.
Right.
And then I mean, because to be fair, I do think there are a fair amount of people like that in the poly community.
Right.
But I also don't think that's everybody in the poly community.
You also know there's a lot of that in the
every community.
The non-ethical poly community, the ones who aren't who are poly without being poly.
Right, the cheater people.
It's just the cheater McCheatersons.
Yeah. But that's really good for me to look at and say out loud because I'm like, I do wonder if we could find out in a real way, like through some kind of scientific, like are there numbers out there about the percentages of, like I'd like to debunk my own preconceived notion there and go, no, Katie, the numbers are 1% of poly people are, you know what I mean? Actually not poly, but doing it because but the rest of, you know what I mean?
Yeah, what does that even mean though? Yeah, we can't really get inside anybody's brain. How do you quantify what their motivation is? But, and I would define poly maybe differently. I would define poly as people who are engaging in ethical non-monogamy, which means lots more communication, lots more actual truth being told, and lots more blah, 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 blah. Whereas other people's...
In other words, by its very nature, it would be not the thing I'm assuming.
The people you're describing are more often going to be just called cheaters or fuck around. There is a term that gets thrown around called polyfuckery, which I'm not sure if that's what that really refers to.
Okay.
But people who just like to fuck a lot and not really have... Because polyamory, even though it's a mix of Greek and Latin, people get frustrated by that.
It is.
Poly is Greek and amory is Latin. So it should be, but polyphilia sounds terrible.
Mm-hmm.
And multi-amory just doesn't have the same ring to it.
Right. That's true.
But polyamory meaning multiple loves.
Right.
As opposed to polyfuckery, which is just fuck arounds.
Yeah. I wonder if our mutual friend is still polyfuckerying, but I heard our mutual friend has a single partnering now.
First initial A?
Mm-hmm.
Back with original.
Uh-huh.
Yeah,
uh-huh.
As far as I know.
Yeah, that's juicy goss. I like that goss.
Totally. It seems like totally back with old school Blondie.
I hope that works.
Yeah, me too. I like it for both of them.
Yeah, me too. I could really see that one being one where it was like people grew, you know, people made mistakes and people grew.
Yeah.
Just like me.
We have to go apart. Oh, you mean going apart and coming back together with someone that you deeply and ferociously care about? Interesting.
If only I could identify. You know, I just had a realization. This podcast, Cassidy, you know how you always very generously own that, you know, you're always like, well, I didn't have too much of a spiritual thing and we did this and now I have a little bit more of a spiritual thing. I'm realizing the podcast, you in particular, has de-judgmentified me around a lot of social groups that I had ignorance around, that I was like coming from my mom's old school weird perspectives on, that like the frontal lobe of my liberal brain would have said, like, I'm good with whatever. But I was carrying a bunch of like, yeah, but actually it's gross, right?
Yeah.
And then there's been a bunch of things on here where you've brought people into our sphere where I've been like, oh, no, don't be a douche.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, hopefully that's happening for all of us, that we're constantly growing and changing.
I guess that's the idea, huh? Well, I do have one question from a person. Did you get any questions? We were so late in our...
No, but then I went back into our email and saw that there were actually three others that I hadn't...
Oh, good.
Yeah.
And then you had that one you sent me about a person in a bathroom, a dead person.
Yeah. So that one...
So we have four.
And then there were like one from Margaret. And then...
Oh, yeah.
Oh, so let's talk about this one because it felt like one that needed more inquiry. But then you ended up talking to Rami about it. This one from... that one from their friend Rodney.
Oh, yeah. We didn't do that one?
We haven't done it. But,
oh.
But Rami wanted to talk to you more about it because they figured you'd have more...
Yeah.
...questions.
But then they sent back an updated one.
To you, maybe.
Okay. Oh, boy. Where was that? Let me try to find that. No big deal. Okay. Farts. I'm so farty today, Cassidy. All right. So...
Oh, we were also going to talk about the thing you had with... you had a little interaction with our food intuitive.
Oh, yeah. Let me start there. Here. Let me read this fun thing she sent. She's cool, man. She's the real deal. Like, the more I interact with her, I'm like, you're fucking cool, lady. Here it is. So I said, hey, Rachel, hope this finds you well. My friends Rami Margran, Cassie de Malbran, Carolina Morones, and myself, Katie Rubin, all recently had readings with you.
Actually, Caro didn't.
Oh, I thought she did. My bad. Cassidy and I are loving your work and wondering if you'd be interested coming on our comedy spirituality podcast, All the Answers. And she wrote back, I'm well, thank you. I hope you are too. I'm very flattered that you asked me to come on your podcast, and it is much appreciated. Unfortunately, I have a policy of not doing any media work because it tunes me into too many people and my energies get wiped out. Most people wouldn't understand, but I know you will because you're sensitive like me and won't judge. And I just love this conversation. I'm going to say more about it. She said, good luck with it all though. And I'm so pleased you and your friends are benefiting from your food readings. That makes me very happy. And of course I get exactly what she's talking about. So I asked her two follow-up questions and I thought her follow-up answers were very useful for folks to hear. And one of them I think might relate to something you were wondering. So I'm going to go ahead and ask, I'm going to read this to you. Are you into this? Is this useful?
Yeah.
Okay. I wrote the first question. I said, you know, obviously I deeply appreciate it. Thank you for your time. I won't go on and on. We're seeing that there are some items that have a check mark and are therefore, quote, good for the body, but that also at the same time have a WG standing for weight gain next to it. So that means they are items that are good for the body, but also happen to cause weight gain, question mark. Is that right? So in my case, for example, sugar isn't bad for my body, but it causes weight gain. So can we say that weight gain isn't bad for the body? Would that be your perspective? I was just curious, you know what I mean? Because there's so much in our culture. Like, my therapist is like deeply up on weight and just body image and eating disorder sort of therapeutic concepts, like the latest evolving ones. And she's always telling me lately that in the more modern or recent heart disease studies, that they're literally finding no actual correlation in any way between weight and heart disease.
Yeah, we talked about that a little bit, you and I.
I'm just like, that one is so programmed into my mind. I have such a hard time.
Well, including your father's work.
As a lung guy?
I thought he was heart.
No, lungs.
Oh.
Yeah. But like, still,
Yeah.
It's just it's a hard one to decondition out of for me for whatever reason. Anyway, this is her response. The items that are ticks, meaning check marks, but also have WG next to them, mean that the food itself is beneficial to your body, as opposed to your body finding it, quote, toxic. It simply has the side effect of also causing weight gain. There is no, quote, beneficial versus not beneficial attached to the weight gain part of it. That's purely information for you so you can make informed choices. Some clients want to gain weight and want to focus on more of those foods. Other clients want to lose weight and avoid those foods. Others eat them sometimes, but not as freely as those that aren't WG, et cetera, et cetera. My role is to inform you and then hand it over to you to exert your free will accordingly. Smiley face. I love that response.
very clear.
Number two, the premise of food intuition. Oh, did I ask the second question? Oh, here was my second question. Do you have any thoughts or anything on any of that?
No, I mean, it's what I kind of assumed, but I actually didn't have clearly stated. And that is almost exactly what I am doing and operating from. Like thinking, oh, it's fine if I eat it. It's just going to make me a little fatter.
Yeah.
Maybe a little bit.
Right.
It's going to lend me towards that.
Yeah.
And like, I would actually, I would go slightly deeper and I would wonder if the ones that are toxic are also some of them. Well, I think she wrote weight gain even next to toxic ones, if they were also weight gainers. But I feel like some things might be like inflaming in a way that make you bigger and bloatier that aren't necessarily, quote, fattening, but that the toxicity of them or the bad effect is bloat.
Or maybe like they're toxic in other ways, like that are actual, but you happen to also see, they also have the effect of
some kind of weight gain. Yeah.
And then I just wrote, because she had said for several of us to eat small meals every 2 hours instead of three meals a day or whatever. I said, is there any more specificity you might be able to provide about which foods in my case and in which proportions I would benefit most from in these smaller 2 hours between each meals, aka 2 ounces of protein and a fruit, or 4 ounces of cooked veggies and a protein, or grains and fat, you know? Or should I just connect with a nutritionist about that question, perhaps, if my goal is to drop some extra pounds? And her response was, the premise of food intuition is that the foods marked with checks or double checks and no SPVSPWG, which means sparingly, very sparingly, or weight gain, can be eaten freely because they're beneficial to your body. That means there doesn't need to be any parameters around quantity. Eat until you're full or feel you've had enough. The only times to bear amounts in mind are when a food drink is SPVSP, because that means your body prefers to only eat them up to once per week or month. And of course, where a food or drink is marked with an X, then ideally it's to be minimized wherever possible. So feel free to speak to your nutritionist if you like. I will never tell someone what to do or not do. It's just that type of guidance can't come from me, because in my world, that's overlaying food intuition with another approach to eating. And it just doesn't fit with how I work. Hope that makes sense. I just love that too, because she's getting, she's not like,
she's just saying, I don't do programs.
Yeah, no, I can't do a program because I'm just telling you what I get psychically about. Intuitively, it's like, eat smaller amounts, don't eat these things, or do, but they're toxic for you. And now you make choices.
Yeah.
Anyway, I liked it a lot. I thought she did a great job. And I so respect her for being so clear about her boundaries around she just can't do media, because it's something I've been wanting to talk about this on here. I once had a psychic session with a psychic years ago with a friend of mine. Both of us were about to move to LA and we were talking to this woman about the benefits or not benefits of moving to LA for each of us. And for my friend, she was doing the reading for her and I was there, I believe. Anyway, she said, the only thing I see for you is that you're so sensitive. If you become famous and you're on TV, you have to understand you have a lot of people paying attention to your energy and your body, and you'll have like creepy men jerking off to you, and you'll have women worshiping you, and you'll have a lot of people thinking about you and projecting on you, and you're very psychic. So you're going to feel all of that all the time. And that's not for everybody. Are you sure you want that? And I just remember being like, that is a whole new perspective on the idea of fame that I had not considered at that time, you know? And it's such a good point. It's like when you're someone who's sensitive to the other realms and you can feel people's thoughts and feelings, having a billion strangers stare at you, think about you, jerk off to you, whatever, is really going to affect your energy field.
Yeah.
So I just give her a lot of credit for being this, our food intuitive friend here, for just being like, no, can't do that.
Don't do it. I don't need enough people paying attention to me. Sounds like my business is fine. Yeah, I like the no program version of it. And that's what I keep trying to do with this is like, I'm going to go program for like a month. I'm going to go hardcore of like taking it out of my body, not doing that, definitely doing that, even avoiding the WGs, da, 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 really going kind of hard on that for a little while in an attempt to just shift my eating patterns.
That's really good.
And like what I buy for myself at home and how do I cook with a little less salt, you know, or whatever. And then relax and just live my life, like she suggests. And also, like, if I go over to a friend's house, yeah, I'm going to have a little whiskey, but I'm just not going to hardly drink it at home at all, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I just had a party, had a backyard party with sausages. And, you know, beer goes with sausages, but that's both gluten and alcohol. And so, like, I was like, I'm just not going to drink. I'm going to have a lot of juice, or iced tea and stuff, decaf iced tea.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was fine. It was like, it's fine. I don't need to fucking get drunk. I don't need the buzz, although it's fun.
Yeah. So, like, it's just so toxic. It's such a toxin.
It really is. It's a fucking poison. But
it really is.
It's a lovely poison.
I know.
And now that I've been off coffee for like 2 weeks, I got up to do this very early for me podcast.
Yeah.
I have not yawned once, you'll notice.
I do see that.
Yeah.
Amazing.
I'm fine.
Wow.
So that's different.
Yeah. What was the party for? Tell us about the party.
That's just my birthday late. What? My late birthday party. We acknowledge my birthday on my birthday day.
Thank God.
It's okay. You're fine. We're fine. You got me. You got me covered. Katie, I don't know when your birthday is, so.
Thank God. I don't care. I never care when people don't know mine. I'm just like, I don't know where other people stand on how important it is to them.
I love acknowledgement of my birthday. I'll be straight up with it.
Yeah.
But then we wanted to have a summer backyard party.
Fun.
And so we did, made the backyard all nice. And I decided to just straight up embrace the fact that we wanted it to be a sausage party, because that's funny to say. But also really easy to manage in terms of, like, as a menu. You just say, bring sausages or things that go with sausages.
What if people are vegan? They bring a vegan sausage.
Yeah, bring a vegan sausage. And we'll cook it on the pan inside if you want. Whatever.
Love it.
But it was lightly attended. Everybody, there was 17,000 things happening. It was Pride weekend. It was a mistake.
Oh, geez.
Did it on Pride weekend.
Yeah.
But people came and we had a very chill, lovely time. I had the balance of slight disappointment that so few people came, and actually relief because I actually got to hang out and not be frantic with the people who were there.
Yeah, I get that. I relate to that intimately.
Yeah.
Yep.
So both ends of the spectrum. Anyway,
I got to apologize. I need to defecate, like, right now.
The whole thing. Go. Do you. Or do it. Good. It's glad we didn't start getting into the record yet.
I know.
Have a good, quick poop.
I'm going to pause my recording. I'll be right back. I'm very fast. I'll be quick like Bunny.
I'll pause everything.
Hey, what's up? Rami here. I just saw a robin chase a squirrel out of a tree, and like chase, like hot pursuit. That robin meant business. It was not playing. It was fierce. It was fierce. I don't know what the squirrel did up in the tree to the robin's babies or whatever, but that robin chased the squirrel down, you know, the squirrel tore down the trunk of the tree, got to the ground, and the robin kept chasing it. Like it was not done, and chased it across the field in the park until the squirrel hid under a human sitting on a bench. But it was so wild to see a winged creature chasing a legged creature so fiercely like that. Rami's rules.
Recording continued. All right.
Okay. Where shall we begin?
Let us do... You had said you wanted to start with Rodney's.
Well, I mean, not. I don't need to start. Whatever we want to do is fine. We can do that though.
Okay. Well, I've got it up, so let's jump right in.
All right. I think what I'm going to do is just silently do the opening each time, because I don't need to. It's a little quicker and a little less. I don't know if everybody needs to hear the damn prayer every fucking time I get in there.
Right. I'm going to say that we've already said Rodney's first name a bunch of times, but let's bleep the rest of his name.
Yeah.
I think we can say his first name because it's just a name.
Okay.
But we'll, from here forward, when we say his full name, we'll bleep that.
We can also ask.
Yeah.
Rami to ask Rodney if they're okay with their first name being said. All right.
And they use all pronouns.
All pronouns. So I can pick whichever I feel like?
At any given time. Those who I know that use all pronouns really love the rotation.
Oh, interesting.
As long as you are actually in rotation.
I'm going to rotate the shit out of it, Rodney. Get into it. All right. Okay, I'm going to get in the records. I'm going to say this one out loud. So we do acknowledge the forces of light. Asking for guidance, direction, and courage to know the truth as it is revealed for our highest good and the highest good of everyone connected to us. The Holy Spirit of God, protect me, please, from all forms of self-centeredness and direct my attention to the work at hand. Help me to know, Rodney, in the light of the Akashic records. Help me to see, Rodney, through the eyes of the Lord to the records. And enable me, please, to share the wisdom and compassion that the masters, teachers, and loved ones of Rodney. All right. And so as I'm deepening into the records of Rodney, we're asking the Lord's masters and teachers to clear, release, uncreate, destroy anything and everything in Rodney's field or mine that would stand in the way of my receiving highest and best frequencies of healing, integration, activation, alignment, clarity, insight, etc. for Rodney's highest good. Okay, this is very random, but here we go. There's a piece of information that wants to be said that's nice and loud here, which, and there's some energy moving already. So, Rodney, if you're listening to this, if you can feel into your throat for a moment or the back of your neck, either thing, there's some energy coming to the part of your conscious awareness that is about communication. What can I say? What can't I say? What should I say? What shouldn't I say? How do I say it? Is this the place to say it? We're just bringing some conscious light to those questions or those limiting beliefs around communication or self-expression or what am I allowed to be or say or do or not? And you are clearing some of this. This is a lineage trauma piece of... everything everyone in your lineage couldn't say or express or be or state or own within themselves. In other words, all of that got passed down through the lineage, and you get to be the one to process it, clear it for the lineage and for yourself. So as you're listening to this, you could, if you so choose, in order to get maximum benefit from the healing work, is just feel into anything in the throat around communication as I'm just talking and yawning and doing my weird noises. There's energy coming through for you. Right now, in the brainstem, on topics of self-expression. Okay. There's actually a lot on this topic, and we could keep clearing here for quite some time, but let's go to Rodney's questions, Cass, if you don't mind.
You got it. Thank you so much for taking this on. Hello, Katie. First question, what else is there in my family history aside from oppression and survival? To clarify this question, I'm asking about anything besides the dirge of my family's story. I know that we were farmers on both sides, but is there anything more? And my father's name is Beep, and mother is Beep. I'm mostly estranged from my parents and extended family, so I don't have names or anything more than an inkling from childhood conversations. And then the second question, where does my mother's line come from before slavery in the Virginia South? There was slave trading and rape within the family that held her side. So anything about which country her side of the family comes from is more than enough.
Oh, okay, let's go back to the first question.
What is there in the family history besides oppression and survival from that oppression?
And the question is, what else is there in my family history? Is that the phrase?
Yeah.
Other than oppression and...
survival.
Okay, give me a moment. So far, first thing I get is there was a lot of spirituality, spiritual connection, a real spaciousness in her being, a lot of creativity, a lot of real spaciousness to her being, meaning like she was really, as a younger person, before more of the conditioning set in, pretty willing to allow for a lot of different ideas and people being different ways. This is her mom? This is her. Oh, okay. So her mom. Okay, so I'm sorry. I'm getting the energy of her mom was very spacious, nurturing, allowing. They show me her on a farm. Very, almost like super progressive for her time. Inclusive, spiritual. She was the kind of person that could just close her eyes and just be in the space of consciousness. She was just open, receptive, judgment-free, generous, kind, inclusive, nurturing. And on top of that, there was all this conditioning for survival, whereby she taught her daughter to be a bit harsh, firm, tough. I also get the sense it came in more fixated, more less open, less judgment-free, you know, less spacious, you could say, than her own mother had come in. Yeah, and then I just start getting information about the trauma. So then if we look at side.
And he's from Haiti.
From Haiti. So what else was there for other than oppression and what was the other word? Oppression and?
And survival.
So survival. Like,
just about surviving oppression only.
Music and sex. Like sexuality and music. There's like a real like dancey, hips moving, sexy aliveness there.
And is that from specifically or from predecessors?
Is that specifically? Yes. And predecessors. Give me a second too. There's also something in that lineage about survivalism, like, but in a good way. Like, the image they give me is like, okay, this could sound less positive than I am receiving it, but like, in the same way that the mafia, if you picture like mafia families have a lot of life and sexuality and vibrancy and survival and ferocity and potency and almost like masculine virility. There was a lot of that in the family, which had the family had more opportunity and been placed in a different context, would have shown up in the form of scrappy, making it happen out of nothing, starting a business, impressing people with their scrappy pull it togetherness. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Is that making sense?
I think so.
It's sort of like the feeling of when you, like for me as a, there were families in Miami when I grew up in Miami that I would go hang out with. Like I had like Cuban friends and Venezuelan friends and Dominican friends, and you'd go to like a Dominican family and there was this, you know, I come from like two quiet white people who were like oppressed or repressed and, you know, stuck in the white capitalist patriarchy. So I'd go to these houses and there'd be this like liveliness and music and dancing and everybody's talking on top of each other and it's noisy and it's, there's a lot of that in the, on the side that's very alive, scrappy, survivalist, creative, sensual music, da da da. Okay. They're like, yeah, that's the answer to the question. Okay. I keep wanting to go like, can I give you more? Can I give you more? And they're like, that's plenty, Katie. And I'm like, okay, sorry.
And answer the question.
Second question.
And then the second question is specifically about her side of the family. Do we know where, I'm assuming where in Africa her folks come from specifically, because they don't know, because they, it starts at, you know, the written history that we have access to starts at slavery.
Okay. Can you read the question the way they wrote it?
Yep.
One more time.
The second question, where does my mother's line come from before slavery in the Virginian South? Before slavery in the Virginian South. There was slave trading and rape within the family that held her side. So anything about which countries her side of the family came from is more than enough.
Oh, boy. All right, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to pull up a map of Africa and I'm going to look at this that way. Because sometimes when I have to do specific names of places I don't know.
Right. You need to.
I just spend a lot of time going, you know, like trying to. Okay. Let me look at Africa. Is it Africa? Yes. That's a big yes. Okay.
Pull one up of Africa in the 1800s.
A map of Africa in the 1800s?
Yeah, because that'll have different countries than are there now.
Oh, good call. Map, Africa, 1800s. Rare old map of Africa. How about we just do any map of Africa and then we go what would have been, what is called now, but at the time maybe wasn't called that. All right, so we're looking for the where family and lineage were from before the Virginia slave trade. Were they from Africa? Yes. I'm just looking at all of these now. Egypt, Libya, Tunisia, Morocco, Algeria, Western Sahara, Mauritania, Mali, Niger, Chad, Sudan, and Eritrea, Ethiopia, Somalia. God, Africa's huge. Kenya, Uganda, Democratic Republic of Congo, Rwanda, Brazil, Tanzania, Rwanda, Burundi, Central African Republic, Congo, Gabon, Cameroon, Nigeria, those guys, this one, oh, Ivory Coast, no, Burkina Faso reads, okay, Ghana, Northern Ghana, no, Togo, Benin, Burkina Faso, wow, okay, Liberia, Sierra Leone, it's fun to see where all these are. Why have I never looked at a map of fucking Africa before? Guinea-Bissau, Senegal, no. Okay, so far we have that. Are there other, no. Madagascar, Mozambique, and the South, anywhere else, no. Okay, so you're saying record keepers of Rodney, his mom, and her, yep. Wow, that's very strong. Burkina Faso, over on the northwestern section.
Well, I mean, that tracks from what little I know. I know that Benin was one of the main jumping off points.
Oh, really?
Right below Burkina Faso.
Of slave trade?
Yeah, I believe that is true.
Wow. It's such a big country. It's interesting to think about, like, why they were pulling from right there.
Right. I don't know if that means that that's where they were grabbing people from, but that's where the, like, port was that a lot of happened, from what I've been given to understand. Oof. About what Benin is.
If ever we needed proof that humanity as a collective is evolving, just the notion there was ever a fucking slave trade where humans enslaved each other.
And it was fully embraced globally.
Yeah. Just normal thing we do.
Yeah.
Although, I mean, then you can look at,
I mean, it still is, but it's all underground and quiet now.
Anyway, okay. So I was thinking too about, like, the Colosseum and like, you know, men battling it out like animals
with animals
and with animals. Yeah. Okay. Did we answer those questions?
Yeah. We found out that Burkina Faso seems to be where her people are from.
Okay. Thank you, Rodney, for the question. I appreciate you. I want to thank the master teachers and love us for their love and compassion, lords of the records for their point of view, Holy Spirit of Life for all knowledge and healing. I see you return Rodney energy to themselves now, please. I see you return Rodney and all of her family members' energy to themselves. The divine portal and the Akashic records of Rodney are now closed. Amen. The divine portal and the Akashic records of Rodney are now closed. Amen. Okay, what's next?
All right. Well, we have like three or four, and we probably only have time maybe for one, maybe two more. So let me read them all.
What we could do is you give me all three names. I'll open them all at once and we'll ask one after the other to save time.
Well, like the one from Rami isn't really a Rami question so much as a general knowledge question.
But I would want to ask it through Rami's records.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
So it's going to be Rami Margaron. It's going to be Margaret McCarahan, who we can always count on for a question. Doesn't want her name, so saying that out loud right now.
Oh, right. Got it.
That's it.
All right. All right. Let me do this.
Oh, and sorry. And Eric Vogler.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Okay. All right. As we deepen into the Akashic records of Rami Margaron, Margaret McCarahan, and Eric Vogler, just asking that you take me as deep into everybody in that group's records and each individual's records and into the records of consciousness. Okay. All right. Let's start with Rami's.
Okay. Will you take down your screen share just so I can see your beautiful face?
Yeah.
All right. Rami's question, very simple. What's up with high vibe land being the home to so many low vibe people?
Right. Okay. I think I know what they're talking about because we talked about, I was in Arizona and we were chatting on text memo and I...
Like Sedona?
It wasn't. It was somewhere outside of... It was nowhere. It was in the middle of like a freeway. I was driving through some random part of Arizona and the energy in the land was really high frequency. And then I went into a gas station where they were selling like tours where you could shoot a shotgun. It was like a sign that was like, want to shoot a shotgun? Ask about it inside. Then I went inside and every item inside was Make America Great Again, Trump flags. There were t-shirts that said, Make America Florida.
Yeah, that's the new thought. Because Florida's passing all these really shitty laws.
So fucking weird. Okay, so there's a few points here. One is, there's a lot here. First of all, you have to understand that some of the people who are low vibe people, A, need the healing of the high vibe land. So they're there because their soul is aware that a personality and the ego need healing, integration, love, light. So they go to where the vibration is high. Now that doesn't mean that the personality and the ego are going to choose to heal or integrate or do their work, but the soul of the being knows, like, put them on some high vibe land. Maybe that'll wake them up. Number two, the history of that particular land has a lot of colonialism and Make America Great Again history. So on the personality ego level, the people are drawn to that for the opposite reason of what we just stated. Number three, a lot of people who are what you're calling low vibe are quite spiritually connected. They have deep relationships with what they call God. They connect with it all the time. They resonate with the frequency of the land. But there is a part of their heart and soul on the personality ego level that has not embraced the concept of unity, oneness, and still believes in separation, judgment, exclusion, etc. So you can be very spiritually evolved, except for in this one part of your heart or this six parts of your heart, et cetera, et cetera. Think of for yourself, anyone listening and the person who asked the question, how spiritually connected you are, and yet how there is that thing you're working through that you haven't resolved yet. It's like that for them, only on this topic, the topic of exclusionary thinking, judgment, to keep my guns, et cetera, et cetera. The end.
The end, period.
Is there more on that? No.
Nope.
Okay.
No. There's no more.
What's next? No, I meant on the answer, but okay.
Let's do...
Okay.
Hi, pod people. I have a question for the podcast. Yesterday, my five-year-old grandson was here at my house, and as we were sitting around talking, he said, "There's a shadow in that bathroom. It just went in there." So his dad and I asked him some questions like, "Why is it there?" He didn't know. "And did it talk to you?" He said, "No, wait a minute." Then he turned on the light, went in, shut the door, and came out a minute later and didn't say another word about it.
Mm-hmm.
We asked if everything was okay, and he said, "Yes, it was." We didn't mention it again. I believe in asking questions, but not forcing anything with kids. I don't want to scare them. He didn't want to talk about it anymore. So what was that about?
Okay, so grandson?
Yep, and please don't say my name over the air.
Yeah. Okay, so did he see like an entity, ghosty, dead person? Yes. Did he have a conversation with them in the bathroom? Yes. Was it a scary one? No. Was it intimate? Yes. Did the ghost tell him not to say anything? No. Did he just choose not to say anything because it felt private? Yes. Also, okay. So it felt private to him, your grandson. He didn't, it, how old, does she say how old he was, is?
Five, I think. Five.
There's a way that whatever kind of communication happened between him and this ghost, which really is a person who's attached to the location, the house, the bathroom, the area. There's a way that the kind of communication they shared, the topic of discussion, was shared telepathically in a way that your grandson would have no way to express in words yet. He would have no way to say what happened. Like the kind of, sort of like if you and I, we'll bleep your name, stared at each other in the eyes. If you did like an acting exercise where we had to just stare at each other and we went through a range of emotions. First it feels awkward and then it feels intimate and then you're crying and then you love the person and you can't believe you love Katie Rubin just because you're staring in their eyes. It's a kind of profound exercise we take people through in acting class sometimes, which teaches you about connection and intimacy and how there doesn't have to be words in order for connection to be built. You can just look at a person and build connection. But it's a very intimate and personal and specific kind of interaction you're having. This is how this was for your grandson. He just had like a deep moment with this other being. It was not harmful. It was not scary. It was just deep and profound in a way that your grandson has no words for. It wasn't traumatic in any way. Nothing bad happened. It was just absolutely no words for that. Also, it's funny because I get that your grandson, internalize this in a way that was like healing and helpful. Nothing bad about it happened. All right.
Check.
Margaret.
Three questions. You decide which one. Something about her cat and its eating habits and how to not have a fat cat.
Mm-hmm.
One about sleep positions. Is there a better way that I could be sleeping so I don't have a hurt neck? And third, why am I so tired after watching K-pop with my daughter, even though I love it so much?
Huh. Let's go with that one.
Okay. I'll read the question now.
Okay.
Every day I spend an hour or so after a late breakfast with my 19-year-old daughter, Gillian, as we share our favorite thing together, K-pop. We watch music videos, variety shows, all kinds of subtitled K-pop content, and immerse ourselves with joy. My question is, why am I often so, multiple O's, tired at the end of this daily ritual that I love so much?
Hmm. Okay. Hmm. Okay, this is really interesting. Your daughter is, okay, embedded in different music. There are frequencies and energies that some music on Earth short-term pauses the pain people are going through. It sort of puts the pause button on pain. For example, a big one of these is like death metal. Like big thrashing death metal music can be, it sort of pauses the effects of implants, projections, and judgments. But also in this case, the K-pop is processing in a healthy way some stuff your daughter has, and you are processing your daughter's stuff with her when you guys listen. In other words, it's stuff from this lifetime. It's not past lives. It's hard to be 19. 19? The K-pop is allowing your daughter to unconsciously process the stress of being 19 and having been 14, 13, 10, 8, 6, 4, and 2 specifically. And in the womb, this K-pop is processing a lot for her. You are perceiving that. You are helping her process it. It's, think of it like you're holding space for it. But because you're not doing it consciously, it's having an extra tiring effect on you. But that's what's happening. So every bit of heaviness or emotionality that's moving through your daughter, you're experiencing that processing with her in those moments. And you're part of what's helping process it, which is really kind of great. If you were to choose to, you could, if you so choose, get spiritually centered, do a little chanting meditation with your higher frequencies, whatever it is you do these days, before you do the K-pop stuff. And then consciously, while you're listening to the K-pop, stay spiritually actively connected to, they show me specifically one ascended master. I remember this for you now. Who is that? Kuan Yin? No, it's a Catholic one. Mother Mary. Yeah, Mary Magdalene, Mother Mary. The spirit of Mother Mary. If you could stay in touch with the spirit of Mother Mary whilst watching K-pop and imagine everything coming through your daughter that she's processing and releasing, moving through the alignment of energy you have with Mother Mary. So it's not really you processing it, it's Mother Mary processing it. That will make the whole thing lighter and you'll be less tired. I mean.
Two very efficient answers today. I love it.
Oh.
They help us, like, here's your question, here's your answer.
Oh, I like it.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I can speak a little bit to that, like, only because recently I've started to perceive a little more and feel like I'm, you know, getting, and we talked about this on the podcast about me, like, when I was yawning a lot and stuff and feeling like, but I got enough sleep last night. Why am I so tired? But and it was someone else's processing that I was getting. It was someone on a guest, and you were like, it's passing through you, basically.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Their stuff is passing through you, and that's how it manifests.
Right. That's why I yawn every time we have anyone on, ever. Cool. Okay.
Nice.
All right.
And then one final one from Chauncey Vogler.
Oh, yeah. Okay, go.
Big question. And that is, let me make sure I get it right. When will human life become indefinite?
Yeah. Okay.
Those are the words.
Yeah. That was my paraphrasing. So let me feel into this. Well, that's interesting. They're like, you will see it in your lifetime around when you're 80 years old. Speaking of Eric here. I don't think you'll care to do anything about it or apply the techniques or whatever it's going to be. So what year would that be? He's 42.
So in 40 years. So we're in 23. So
38 years?
Sure, exactly. Well, 40 years from now would be 2363. It'd be 2063, so 2061.
Yeah, that will be the time around which you'll be able to, as a human being, elongate your life long enough so that by the time the new problems arise, there will be solutions to those as well. And then you'll be able to elongate again. And then by the time there's a new problem, there'll be solutions to those, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Wow.
Is this something that'll be globally and fully accessible, or is this a rich people thing?
Rich people thing. By when does it become globally accessible? Does it ever be? Yes. 40 years after that. 40 years after that.
So in 80 years. So at the turn of the new millennium. Or not millennium, the new century.
Yeah, that reads. Yeah.
2100.
Yeah. Wow.
So long after we're gone.
Well.
Well, maybe not, because in 40 years, I mean, it'll be close to the edge for me, because I got 10 years on you guys.
Right. If you make it to 90.
Then it might work out. Then it, and I have access somehow.
And you have some money.
Then I can boot the can down the road 40 more years until it's globally accessible. Don't know if I want to.
Yeah, I was going to say, the question is, would you want to?
Yeah, I don't want to live forever. I ain't no vampire.
I feel you.
I welcome the great beyond. That's not suicidal ideation in any way. I love my life and I love being here right now.
All right, I have to urinate again.
You know what? Let's call it. Let's wrap it up.
Let's call it. Let me close these records.
I got to drop a deuce.
I want to thank the master. On that note, the master's teachers and loved ones for their love and compassion, the lords of the records for their point of view and the Holy Spirit of life for all knowledge and healing. I see you return Rami Margaron, Margaret McCarahan, and Eric Vogler. Energy to themselves now. Return them to their complete human wholeness, please. The divine portal and the Akashic records of Rami, Margaret, Eric are now closed. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. Shadow and Laila. Elohim, Shadow and Laila. Hamadur Salami. That was a fun one.
That was fun. Yeah. And you know what I realized? If we end it right now, you know what we just did?
Huh.
Doopa doopa doop poop.
Doopa doopa doop poop. We did it. That's the name of the episode. I love you. Do your work. I gotta pee.
I love you. Do your work.
Bye. Doopa doopa doop poop.
Were you asking for all of the answers? Say what? All of the answers? Yeah, all the answers.
Hey guys, thanks for listening. We'd love to hear from you. Please email us with your questions so that we have questions to answer in the Akashic Records. Our email address is allanswerspod@gmail.com. That's allanswerspod@gmail.com. And if you'd like to find us on Facebook or Twitter, it's @allanswerspod. Thank you.
Sorry, Desmond.
Mixed and edited by Desmond McNeese for We Mixed It, LLC. Go to whatsoundsawesome.com.
You're welcome, Desmond.